Now, I'm telling you right now, every prophetic word lined up. You'll see here in a moment. This is amazing. Go to Psalm 119, 130. We're going to kick this thing off. Wow. Such an awesome presence of God in here. I have a powerful word the Holy Spirit gave me, and everything lines up. I know this is from the Holy Spirit. Psalm 119, 130, and it says, "The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." Now jump to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 23. You know, this is one of my favorite passages here. And it says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it," out of your heart, "spring the issues of life." Today I want to talk about an important topic that applies to every Christian, all right? So everyone needs to hear, amen? I want to talk about the importance of reading and hearing the Word of God. Now, that sounds so basic and so simple, but I guarantee you I'm coming around the corner with something that maybe you've never even thought of before about this topic. So there are two gates to the heart. I'm not talking your physical bump. I'm talking about your spirit and your soul. There's two gates to your heart, our eyes and our ears. Amen? Our eyes see and our ears hear. If it's the other way around, we got a problem, right? Come on. But listen, the purpose of our eyes and ears, according to the Word of God, is that what comes through those two gates, say two gates, that they would positively affect your heart and in turn positively affect your life. Say, I got two gates. Now, here's the problem. Not everything we hear, not everything we see is positive, and it can be negative stuff, and it can negatively affect our heart and our life. So we need to do what we can do to control what goes into those two gates. Amen? We need to do what we can do. Now, we can control our inner circle. We can control who we are spending our time with, right? Other than, you know, the caveat's a secular job. You get that, right? I mean, you're probably going to be hanging around some people that maybe are not very positive. I get that. But you can control what church you attend, right? Are they building you up? Are they feeding you spiritually? Are you helping you? Or are they tearing you down, right? We can control what we're watching on TV. You get the point, right? We can control what's coming in through the two gates. Now, for the most part, we have a lot of control over what comes through those gates. In 1 John 1:5, the Word of God says, now here's where you're going to see how the prophetic just came together today. 1 John 1:5 declares that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Psalm 119:30, which I just read, says, "The entrance of your words," the entrance of the Word of God, "gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." Do you want to know what the title of my message is? Let there be light. Yeah! Don't tell me the Holy Ghost isn't moving at Living Waters Chapel. That phrase was even spoken today in the prophetic word. Let there be light. Here we go. This thing's packed full of revelation knowledge, all right? The Word of God is a lamp, and it releases spiritual light. The Word of God is a lamp, and it releases spiritual light. The Word of God was birthed and released in the heart of God. That's why the Word of God is full of light. Because God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. So when He released His Word, it releases light. Okay? So, now, what I love this. Everything just ties together in the world. Word. James 1:17 says this, that God is the Father of lights. Yes. My topic today is about light, by the way. I want to teach you something that will change your Christian life forever if you will take hold of this truth. Go to Psalm 119, 105. Psalm 119, 105. Oh my goodness. This message was burning in me, and I couldn't wait to release it. So I hope you're as excited to receive as I am to release. Okay? All right. Psalm 119, 105. It says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Yes. We all know that one for the most part, right? Wherever the word of God refers to light, it is referring to revelation knowledge, illumination, or an understanding of truth and righteousness. Basically, light refers to everything that's good. Say everything that's good. This says the word of God is a light unto our path. What path is it talking about? Go to Proverbs 3 real quick. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You're going to see how I'm tying this thing in. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We know it, but we need to keep it fresh. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." Now, this passage tells us that not only to trust God with all of our heart, with everything that's in you, we need to trust him, amen? But also to acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. That you must understand this important point right now. Do not miss this. When you think about acknowledging God, most Christians only think about prayer. But a part of acknowledging God also means this: to seek and study the word of God. Don't forget that part. Amen? When we read and hear the word of God, we are filling ourselves with spiritual light. Let me drive this home in more important connection to what I'm talking about here. It's a light unto our path. He's directing our paths. Have you ever seen a Christian that is well-versed in one topic in the Bible, and the blessings of that one thing overtake the Christian, but in another area, nope, they're struggling in the other area? Have you ever seen a Christian like that? Maybe a Christian that's really living in the favor of financial prosperity, yet they're lacking in the area of the health, their health in their physical body. Amen? Or a Christian that's big on soul winning, but they're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, and they know nothing about the things of the Spirit of God, like spiritual gifts. Are you seeing where I'm going with this? Or maybe a Christian that's big on spiritual warfare and deliverance, but they lack the foundational topics. Here's what the Holy Spirit wanted me to get across here real quick. Think of each promise or benefit of the gospel of Jesus Christ as a path. Say path. Yeah. Every benefit of the gospel is a path. Follow me here, down this path. We will only partake of the benefits of the promises that we have, light shining on that path from the word of God. Amen. Oh, you didn't get it. Someone did. Listen, the light of that promise from the word of God in our heart. I guarantee you, the people that are flowing in certain blessings of the gospel, they're studying that thing. They're putting the word of that topic. They're putting the information from the word on that topic in their heart. Amen. And they're benefiting from it. Yes. Listen to this. The Holy Spirit showed me this. Let's say you're standing in a dark room. And that room has gold bars and diamonds scattered all over that dark room. But you can't see them because the room is pitch dark. But the moment you turn the light on, now you can see the gold bars and diamonds all over that room because the light revealed them in that room. You can now walk and you have a path. Say path. To those gold bars and diamonds to take hold of them. But you couldn't do it until the light came on. That is what it's like for a Christian. We all have these exceedingly great and precious promises in the Word of God. Amen? We all, ever since Jesus ascended into heaven, the provision for all the promises are there. The promises are in the room. And you just can't see them because there's no light from the word in you on that topic. Oh, my goodness. You will never be able to take hold of it until you put the light of God's word on that specific topic in your heart. Listen to this. The light that was turned on in that room did not create the gold bars or diamonds. No, it just simply revealed they're available in there. Oh, come on. The light of the word shines in our heart to reveal what's available to us through Jesus Christ, through the new covenant. The provision is available to every Christian through Jesus Christ. If you see a Christian living and experiencing the promises in a specific area, like I said, it's because they have taken the time to research that topic, listen to me, to research it, to read about it in the Word, to hear about it in the Word, to meditate on about that specific thing. And they were able to walk over and pick up those gold bars and diamonds of the gospel. Oh, come on, somebody. You know, people get mad at a Jesse Duplantis and Kenneth Copeland and all that because of all the money and prosperity. Well, they've done a little studying on that topic. And guess what? Not just study, but they believed it. And here it comes. Then you got a whole bunch of Christians who are jealous, but that means they're lazy because you're not doing your own research on that topic. Oh, come on, somebody. It didn't happen to those Christians by accident. It happens on purpose. Remember my message? On purpose, Christianity. Nothing's going to fall in your lap. Come on. So listen to this. The shifting of your focus to a promise in the Word of God causes you to be more in tune with the Holy Spirit in that specific area or with that specific blessing. I told you before in one of my messages, I drove down, Frank Street, coming to the church all the time, a couple years, right? And one Sunday, I was driving to church, and I seen in front of all the yards, no parking signs. And I'm thinking, I've never seen those before. I even asked them, and I said, are those new? I've never noticed them before. They were out there the whole time. I just didn't notice it. Are you seeing where I'm going with that? Some of you aren't noticing the goodness of God because you're not focusing on that. You're too focused on your negative situation. So, and your focus, listen, and your focus of thought on a specific topic, listen, oh, you got to get this. Oh, the teachers are going to appreciate this one. Listen to this. Your focus of thought on a specific topic in the Word of God is like you sitting in a classroom and you raise your hand to ask a question for the teacher. Oh, my, my, my. Listen to me. This is what the Holy Spirit showed me. Our focus on a specific topic in the Word, a specific benefit, a specific blessing through the Lord Jesus Christ, when we focus and study and meditate on that thing, it's like we're sitting in a classroom and the teacher's teaching and we raise our hand to get the teacher's attention to explain it more. This is what the Holy Spirit does. Your focus on the Word of God is getting the Holy Spirit's attention. And he is our teacher. Why is it getting his attention? Why does our focus get the attention of the Holy Spirit? It all goes back to a couple sermons ago. Because your thoughts are spiritual communication. Remember? Oh my. Say, my thoughts are spiritual communication. So when you, say if you want to look up prosperity and all that, when you're studying, when you go through all the scriptures on that, you're giving the Holy Spirit an opportunity to give you more revelation on that thing as you're meditating and reading and focusing on that one topic. So attention, it means that you're showing the Holy Spirit that you are desiring. This is what you're doing when you focus on a topic. Come on, this is going to help someone. When you're focusing on a topic, it means that you're showing the Holy Spirit that you're desiring to learn more about that topic. Amen. Say, I got to learn more in the Word. We got to get the light of God's Word on the inside of us. Listen, so when we focus on a topic, it's like we're in a classroom and raising our hand and saying, Holy Spirit, show me more about this specific topic. And listen, that is why Peter got more revelation from the Holy Spirit. Remember when the Lord gave him a vision? It said, while Peter thought upon or meditated on that vision, then the Holy Spirit gave him more information about it. Why? Because when you focus on a spiritual truth, you're raising your hand saying, Holy Ghost, I want more information and revelation about that topic. Again, our focus captures the Holy Spirit's attention to give us more illumination and revelation, more light, say light, on that specific topic or situation. So if you need physical healing in your body, you need to read and hear specific verses and passages having to do with the topic of healing. Yes. Amen? Yes. If you need a healing in your body, don't go running off to something else. Camp out a little while. Yes. On the healing scriptures. Let that build the faith on the inside of you to receive. Amen? Yes. You're saying this, when you hang out on a specific topic, you're meditating, you're reading about it, you're filling yourself with light. You are literally saying this, let there be light on that specific path so you can become a partaker of it and experience it in your own life. Now, I hear many Christians complain that they've never had a vision. They complain, I've never seen an angel before. And in all these things, I've never experienced this, I never experienced that. And my question to them is this, when is the last time you read about, studied, and meditated on verses in the Word of God and specific passages about that thing? And the answer is probably never, or are you ready for this? It's not necessarily never. Here's why it doesn't happen. Are you ready? You didn't camp out long enough. Because most Christians, they'll glance at a scripture about angels or visions, you know, but they don't camp out long enough. You've got to camp out a little bit longer. And here's, you need to camp on it, slow down, take some time to look at those verses and passages, and give the Holy Spirit a chance to minister to you in those specific areas. And increase your understanding on it. And here's what the Holy Spirit showed me. When we fail to camp out long enough and let the Holy Spirit give us more light on that topic, the Holy Spirit said this, and the teachers will appreciate this one. It's like having a student in your classroom asking the teacher a question and then not giving the teacher enough time to answer it. They end up asking another question. And then they keep asking another question. They go to another topic. And here's what it is. The Holy Spirit said it's a lack of focus, and it's annoying for the teacher. Have you ever had your kid ask you a question, and before you can answer it, they're asking something else, and it's like, tell me when you're done, and I'll try to answer if I can remember it. That's what the Holy Spirit said this is like when we fail to camp out and really study the Word of God. We got to study the Word of God. This is not just something that we look at in passing and move on to. No, study it. Study it. Amen? We need to camp out. We need classroom etiquette as Christians. We are to be disciples. We are to be learners. We are to be disciplined ones. Amen? As students of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. We are students. If you're a disciple, you are a student of the Word. We need to be students of the Word. We need to get the light of the Word on the inside of our heart. Amen? So it would be wise for all of us, every Christian, to ask the Holy Spirit this. This would be something great to add to all of our prayer lists. Ready? Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal areas of our life where there is no light from the Word of God in us. Ask Him, Holy Spirit, where am I lacking? Where am I lacking? What am I not taking advantage of through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the new covenant? I want more. Show me the dark paths right now that need to be lit up. Yes. Oh, hallelujah. By the way, let me just throw this in here. Angels are attracted to the light of God's word. Yes. Oh, angels are attracted. They do his word. They hearken unto the voice of his word. Amen? We give voice to his word. And angels love the light of God's word. It's kind of like when you turn a light on, all the mosquitoes, Every time we speak and give voice to the word of God in a situation, we are releasing spiritual light, and angels are given assignments over that situation. We got to give angels assignments. Yeah. Amen. I think we play a bigger role on the function of angels than what you even think of. Most people are just kind of like, oh, no. Here's why. Because many Christians have been taught that if you even think about them, you're worshiping them. No, you're not. No. Worship is a lot different than taking your place in learning about their function and making sure they're doing what they're doing. Amen? More depends on you than it does on God in that situation. Daniel. Right? He prayed for more revelation about a dream, right? Or a vision, dream. And the angel was held up for 21 days by an evil principality and power. God didn't set that angel free. Daniel did by his prayer and fasting for 21 days. So stop blaming stuff on God that the responsibility is on us. Amen? So God desires for Christians to be spiritually, listen to me, spiritually well-rounded in their life. God desires his people to be spiritually well-rounded in their life, not just hyper-focused on one or two topics. Right? Come on. Go to 2 Timothy 2:15. Let me show you something here. He wants us to be well-rounded. Say well-rounded. I'll show you what that means here in a moment. 2 Timothy 2:15. Second Timothy 2:15 says these words. Be diligent, say diligent, to present yourself approved to God, a worker that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I love that. Say, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is telling Christians, number one, don't take the word of God out of its proper context. Don't take the word of God, don't take the spirit of faith out of the word of God. Amen? But what it's also saying is this, to give place and study every promise and benefit in the word of God so that you will be a well-rounded disciple and a partaker of it. I bet many Christians never even seen it that way. Say well-rounded. God wants you to be a partaker of all of the blessings. He wants us to give attention to the whole word of God. Amen? It's interesting. It says, a failure to diligently study the word of God, it says, will cause you to be ashamed. That word ashamed literally means to be embarrassed. We don't want that. Amen? I don't want that. Diligent study of the word of God will prevent you from being ashamed or becoming embarrassed. All right? We must know the word of God. Say, I got to know the word. We have to be word people. Yes. Amen. You will never be a partaker of the benefits and promises in the word of God that you ignore studying or refuse to learn about. Have you ever met a Christian like that? They just refuse to study a certain topic because it messes with their old-time religion. Amen. Back when they were growing up. Mom and Daddy never taught me that. I never learned that in the church when I was growing up. Well, guess what? Hello. Amen. There's going to be some things you're going to run into as an adult that are going to be different from what you learned when you were a kid. Amen? You will have darkness in those areas. There will be darkness on those specific paths. There will be no knowledge, no understanding, no revelation in those provisions of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now look at 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. Oh, we got to get fired up. We got to get fired up for the word. We need the word. The word is so important. We love the Holy Ghost, but we need the word with the Spirit. Amen? Here we go. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, so we find out four things that the Word of God does in the Christian's life. All Scripture is profitable, it said, for doctrine, for reproof, or rebuke, right? Correction, and instruction in righteousness. So why? What's the point of that? Those four things? So that we can be complete. Say complete. Thoroughly equipped for every good work, all right? So listen to this. This is an interesting way the Holy Spirit showed me about this. So out of those four functions in the Word of God that we just read, you can say it this way. Ready for this? 50% of the Word breaks you down. And 50% of the Word restores you back up correctly. Oh, come on, somebody. Reproof and correction means that we believed or we did something that was against the Word of God. Amen? And the Word of God is tearing down those things in our false belief system on the inside of us. Now, doctrine and instruction in righteousness, the ones that build you up, it restores us back to God's divine order for our life. Isn't that good? It builds us back up and so we can be in the will of God. So 50% of the Word, when you're reading the Word of God, 50% breaking down, 50% building you back up to what you should believe. Are you following me? All right, now, when the light of God's Word, when the light of God's Word enters our eye gate and ear gate, seeing and hearing, there's light. Either way, seeing or hearing, all right? Seeing or hearing the Word, light is entering into us. The first action then, if 50% of it is to break down or tear down, that means it's destroying, or I like to say it this way, are you ready? It's disinfecting what is not of God in your life. It is disinfecting what is not of God in your life. And then to rebuild righteousness and divine order on the inside of us. Now, here's what you got to know that I find extremely amazing in the natural realm. Are you ready for this about light? Light is a disinfectant in the natural realm. Oh, my goodness. Are you see? Oh, don't you love revelation from the Holy Ghost? Light is a disinfectant in the natural realm, and it's also a disinfectant in the spirit, in the spiritual realm. The goal of the Word of God is to replace our fleshly thoughts and mindsets with God's thoughts and spirit in a spiritual mindset. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, 19 through 26. Hallelujah. Light is a disinfectant. You got to get the Word. We got to be disinfected spiritually in our life. Amen? Oh, it's going to get better. I got some more revelation. Here we go. It says, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity or sin. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some of honor and some of dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified. That word sanctified, don't let it throw you off. It just means set apart. Sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with all those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid, listen, here's where we're going to go with this. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, and in humility correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So that's saying they've been influenced by the enemy there, all right? So here we go. Listen to this. The word of God helps us in the cleansing process of our life. Why? So that we can become a vessel of honor. Say vessel of honor. Vessel of honor. And so we can be sanctified or set apart and useful for the master. The word of God cleanses and equips us. Now, I want you to notice something here. Oh, this is good. I want you to notice it says a servant of the Lord must not quarrel. Say quarrel. But be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. Now, here's where I want to drop this spiritual bomb on you. Are you ready for this? The word quarrel is defined as this: having a heated argument or disagreement, typically about a trivial issue. Oh, it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. It continues to say, and between people that are usually on good terms. Did you catch that? Number one, you're arguing about something that's absolutely trivial. It means nothing in the light of eternity. Number two, it's usually with a brother or a sister in the Lord. That entire point, listen to this, of us having these characteristics is so that we can teach people the word of God. And here's why. So we can teach people. This is why it says to be patient. This is why it says to be humble with people. This is why it says be apt or able to teach. Are you ready? So it will be easier for them to receive the word of God. How many of you know, when the word of God is taught in a prideful or a contentious way, it will usually not be received in the heart of the person you're speaking to. That seed that you're trying to sow from the word, that light you're trying to release to them, is DOA, dead on arrival. Because you just helped to harden the soil of that person's heart. Oh my goodness. Holy Ghost, speak to us today. Now, you can teach and preach the word of God in humility. You can teach it in the right spirit. And guess what? That person you're trying to minister to, they still might not receive it. But here's what the Holy Ghost said. Are you ready for this? He said, that's on them, not on you. Oh my goodness. That's on them. When you're trying to teach it in the right spirit and you're doing it in the right way, that's on that person, not on you. God holds you responsible when you come in a prideful way, when you don't come in the right spirit. So what we need to do then is we need to make sure, here's what it comes down to, that we are not a stumbling block to people we're ministering to. We must do everything in our control to not generate needless strife. We need to try, if possible, maintain peace with everyone. If you're going to act the fool when communicating the word of God with people, that blockage is on you. And the Holy Spirit said, you will be responsible for it. That's why, oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. That's why he said teachers of the word are judged even harder. Wow. So we need to do everything we can do to make sure there's an environment where they can receive from us. Don't give the devil a stick to beat you or them with. Don't give the devil a stick. Come on, somebody. Amen? Sometimes it's not possible to have that peace if you're standing up for righteousness, if you're in the face of evil, right? Sometimes it's just not possible. But he said, you better try to do everything you can do. Amen? So we are to release the light to people in a proper environment that will promote spiritual growth in their life. Why? Because we're responsible. And what came to me was this, is that even the military has enough common sense to, in a learning classroom environment, to make the drill instructors shut their mouth. Yes. Oh, you didn't hear me. Yes. Anybody who's in the military knows this. I went for a few weeks to Quantico to officer candidate school in the Marines. And I'm telling you right now, it was absolute hell outside. Everyone couldn't wait to get to the classrooms because the drill instructors stayed to the side and they kept their mouth shut. The problem is we fell asleep because they made us so tired. Yeah, you get it. But even the military has enough common sense. So what I'm trying to say is we as Christians need to have enough common sense. If you're going to teach the word, if you're going to speak the word to people, it better be in the right spirit. It's got to be. What? Secondly, because we're representing Jesus, right? Now, I want to show you something powerful in the Word of God. What? There's more? There's more! Go with me to Matthew chapter 6. Go with me to Matthew chapter 6. But wait, there's more! Now, listen to this. The Holy Spirit gave me something here that was just blew me out of my seat in my office. This jumped out at me. It's so awesome how the Holy Spirit leads, how he confirms with all the prophetic words. Isn't it beautiful? This is the importance of being in a church with a spirit-filled environment where the gifts are allowed to flow. Amen? Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 through 23. And it says these words. The words in my Bible are red. It means Jesus is doing the speaking. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? We're going to break this thing down. Here we go. The lamp of the body is the eye. If your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. That's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. I want to show you something here, something that I didn't even see for years. My goodness. I want you to notice something. It does not say eyes. Ooh. It says eye.
Yes.
Oh, man. This is amazing. Catch this. That is not a mistake in the Word of God. That says eye, not eyes, for a very good reason. Do you want to know why? Because if you look up that word, eye, in the Greek, that is not talking about your physical eyes. It's talking about your mind's eye, your thought life, your imagination, everything connected to your thought life. The eye gate and the ear gate control what we think and meditate on. You agree with that? If your imagination... You could just say your mind's eye. Say mind's eye. If your mind's eye, if your imagination, you could say thought life, is filled with righteousness, righteous thoughts, filled with the Word of God. It says your whole body will be filled with light. Isn't that amazing? I'm telling you, the Word of God is so rich. For years, I would read this and just be like, oh, it's talking about your physical eyes. Until you do a word study. This is the importance of doing word studies. Jesus is saying this, that your thought life, your imagination will control your actions. And he is also saying that what you are thinking on, what you're meditating on, it will attract. If you're meditating on the word, on the things of the kingdom of God, it's going to attract the things of the kingdom of God. Your physical, now listen to this. Your physical body will, of course, benefit from that light in you, according to Proverbs 4, 20 through 24. Even 3 John says, it says about your soul prospering. Your soul prospers, your body's in health. Say, my soul prospers.
My soul prospers.
my body's going to follow and be in health. So you can see the connection there. Here's what the Holy Spirit showed me. Are you still awake out there? Don't lose me now. Don't lose me now. We've come too far together. Here we go. Listen to this. Our physical body, our earth suit, is like a lamp shade on a lamp. Listen, our physical body is like a lamp shade around a lamp. There is no light in the lampshade itself. The light is coming from the light bulb. Our spirit man or spiritual body is that light bulb. Your thoughts are spiritual. Your thoughts are spiritual communication. Our spirit man, our spiritual body is the light bulb, and that is powered by our thought life, our imagination, our soul. And our physical body is like a lampshade that, of course, surrounds our spirit and soul. Your spirit and soul are inside that physical body. Amen? If it's not right now, we're going to be scheduling a celebration of life. But we don't want to do any more of those. We don't want to do any more of those for a long time. God's got good plans for y'all. Amen? Here's what I want to say. Light can be seen through a lampshade. Light can be seen through a lampshade. That's why when the anointing is upon a person, there is like a glow in their skin and on their physical body. That's because their spirit man is lit up with the anointing, and they are focused on the word. They're focused on spiritual things connected to the kingdom of God and with the Holy Ghost. And that's why the light of the Word of God is a disinfectant to your physical body, to sickness and disease in your physical body. Oh, hold on, let me back that up. Listen, let me say it again. The importance of getting the Word, getting the light of the Word in you, is so the anointing shines through you. And because your body is the lamp shade of your spirit, that anointing radiates out to your physical body, and your body is affected. Oh, someone, you got to get a revelation of that. So here's another example. Moses is another example in the Word of God. He experienced the glory of God, being in the manifest presence of God, and it affected his spirit, soul, and physical body. Remember when he came down from the mountain? What did they all say? Moses, you're a glow stick. You know, by the way, if you want to be a glow stick, you know, remember those glow sticks as a kid? What'd you have to do to get them to glow? Break them. Somehow, we got to let God break us. We got to let God break us of all of the tradition of man, all of the fleshly junk. We need to be broken so we can glow for him. Amen. Hallelujah. So listen to this. If your eye, your imagination, your mind's eye, your thought life is evil, it says your whole body, Jesus said, will be full of darkness. What does that mean? It means that your actions will also be evil and attract the kingdom of darkness in your life. Be careful what you're putting through the eye gates and the ear gates. Listen to this. A lampshade is simply a covering of the light bulb. It does not produce light on its own. I need you to get a revelation of this. Jesus is trying to make the point that everything good or everything evil begins with the condition of your heart and what you allow into those two gates. And all of those two things, those gates have to do with what you're focused on. Your thought life, your imagination controls. This is what's happening. Your thought life controls. Don't miss this right now. If you're taking notes, write this down. Your thought life, your imagination controls if there is light or if there's darkness in your soul. Amen. Your thought life determines if there's light or darkness in your soul. I find it interesting. Have you ever heard that the eyes are the window to the soul? Have you ever heard that phrase before? The eyes are the window to the soul. That's why when we're ministering deliverance, if you're ministering deliverance to someone and a demon pops up, you can see it. You know what we call it in deliverance ministry? That look. That look. It's different. Someone says, how can you tell? How can you tell if there's a demon? What do you mean? What do their eyes do? Trust me, when a demon pops up, you'll notice the difference. You can see the evil radiating. You can see the darkness come through their eyes. Some people's eyes even, they start to look, the pupils even start to look like, almost like a cat eye even. Like, oh, that's it. Cat, snake eye. The eyes are the window to the soul. The eyes reveal what's in your soul, light or darkness. You ever seen someone who's just so full of the Holy Ghost, so full of the Word, and it radiates through their eyes? The eyes are very important. Pay attention to people's eyes. Everyone's going to go up to everyone. I just made everybody paranoid and focused on your eyes. Everyone's going to wear sunglasses. Yeah. So if you ever see someone with snake eyes, you wrestle them to the ground. And no, I'm just joking. Now, remember I recently in one of my messages said, I'm almost done, by the way. I recently said that the spirit and soul are very closely connected. You cannot separate the spirit and soul. When you die, your spirit and soul leave. All right, they're very closely connected. But for teaching purposes, we kind of separate them: body, soul, and spirit, because the Word does. Yeah. So each one has a specific function, right? That's why we kind of separate them. But just know they're very closely connected. All right, and that the soul it touches both the spiritual realm and the natural realm. Right? Your spirit man is in contact and connection with the spirit realm. Your physical body, the natural realm, of course. But your soul is like that connector that connects the train tracks together. Amen? So the condition of your soul, that's why the condition of your soul affects your physical body. Because your soul's connected to your physical body as well, to the natural realm. Amen? It gives place to either the kingdom of God or the kingdom of darkness in the spiritual realm. So that's why it impacts your physical body and it affects your actions, depending on what kingdom you're locked into with your thoughts. Amen? So Jesus made a statement in that verse, that passage we read in Matthew 6, that sounds confusing. You read it and you're like, wait a minute, that sounds like it's contradicting what he's saying, but it's not. I want to tackle this thing right now. All right? He said, if therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? What? What is, if therefore the light that's in you is darkness? What do you mean light can be darkness? The Holy Spirit, here's what he showed me. Are you ready for this? The Holy Spirit brought me to 2 Corinthians 11:14 that says Satan is transformed or masquerades as an angel of light. The enemy masquerades as an angel of light. Satan and evil beings in the kingdom of darkness can appear, say appear, as an angel of light. This is what that means. Are you ready for this? The outward appearance can be light, but the motives of their heart are evil. That's what Jesus is talking about. Where you're putting an outward show, but the inside is evil. Your motives are evil. A wolf in sheep's clothing. Come on, somebody. It's a deception. That's what Jesus is talking about, the motives of your heart. That is why we must have discernment. That's why we just don't look at an outward appearance, but rather we judge by the fruit. Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit. By their motives, by their actions, not by how beautiful they are. Listen, Satan and evil spirits can appear to you. Come on, right? Yep. Right? Here, let me give you a practical example. Joseph Smith. What a beautiful angel, the angel Moroni, that started the Mormon church. It was all deception from a demon spirit. Are you following me? So, this passage about the lamp of the body that Jesus talks about, the eye, the thought life, is right in the middle of, it's sandwiched right in the middle. Listen to this. Of the verses that talk about where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And the below it, the bottom piece of bread, is this. You cannot serve two masters. I saw something on Facebook that says, he who chases after two rabbits catches none of them. Think about that. You know, and that just drives home the point of how important focus is. Say focus. The main point that Jesus is making in all of these passages, to sum it all up, your focus in your thought life, in your imagination, will determine if there's light or if there's darkness on the inside of you. So we must be extremely diligent and careful to focus on the Word of God and the kingdom of God. And we must seek and set our minds on things above, amen, so that we can be filled with light and our actions can be righteous, our actions can be holy, amen. And I want to close it off here. Once the Word of God shines the light on a promise, and you receive revelation of that promise in the Word, now it's up to you and I to take hold of that promise. The Holy Spirit does this. He turned the light on in that dark room. He won't get that promise for you. You must receive that promise. The entire point and purpose of shining the light on that promise is for you to see it and have enough desire on the inside of you to receive it by faith into your life. Just like that example, like I said, those gold bars and diamonds in that dark room, once the light was turned on and you see them, you still got to walk over and pick them up. The light, the illumination, the revelation was that they were there in the room the whole time, and that's brought to your attention. God's promises are in reach in your life, and you need to reach out and receive them by faith. And you need to know this, receiving is an act of your free will. Faith is an act of your free will. The point is this, if you truly desire and are motivated enough to search and study it out in the Word, you are most likely spiritually hungry enough to receive that promise. If there's not enough motivation to seek it out or study it, God loves you, but you're not going to walk in that promise. Hello, somebody. God loves you, but he's not going to give it to you for you. You got to do something. You got to believe and receive. Amen? Yes. That desire that you have will cause you to see it on the inside in your imagination, seeing you with that benefit, that promise, and you'll believe and receive it by faith. But it all must begin by allowing the light of the Word of God to enter your eye gate, enter your ear gate. You must open the Word of God. Say, I got to open the Word of God. You need to read it. You need to hear it. You need to study it. Ask the Holy Spirit to help and teach you, like I said, about areas where you're lacking light. You ask him. He wants you to receive the benefits more than you want to. And remember, your focus on a specific area in the Word of God or on a specific promise, it's like raising your hand and asking for more help and revelation from the Holy Spirit on that promise. So the Holy Spirit's function is to help you and I take advantage of all the benefits of the new covenant through the Lord Jesus Christ. So, and I'll end it on this. Our prayer and faith-filled declaration as a Christian should be this. Are you ready? Let there be light from the Word of God in every part of my heart and on every path of my life. Let's stand up in this place. Hallelujah. Let there be light. Let there be light. Prayer team, come forward. Hallelujah. Maybe there's someone in here you've never made Jesus Lord of your life. Maybe there's someone in here you did a long time ago, but you've fallen away from him. and you want to rededicate your life to Him. If any of those two categories are you, I want you to come down, make it right today. Don't leave this place. There is an anointing in this place. If you're feeling a tug on your heart to do it, come forward and make it right now. Because you might not feel that tug again. You might not feel that tug again. So obey. Answer the Holy Spirit. If you want to learn more about the Holy Spirit baptism and praying in tongues, gifts of the Spirit, come on down. We will pray over you to receive the Holy Spirit baptism. If you need prayer for anything else, come on down. Now, I do want to put a quick plug in for that testimony fire night. It's going to be a time of, we're given 10 people. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. 10 minutes, you're in the spotlight. 10 minutes, you're up here, you're telling what God did for you. If you want to sit up here for 10 minutes and give us a mini sermon, go ahead. Hello, this is the opportunity for you, people in the congregation, to come up, have the mic, and share. So it's going to be a good time of fellowship. We're probably going to do a couple few songs before we get started to stir up the atmosphere. But come on out, 7 p.m. next Saturday, and sign up before you go. Saturday, right? It is Saturday the 28th. Oh. All right, so there's children's ministry on that night even, so no excuses. So again, now I'm going to be a stickler on the 10 minutes, all right, because I got to preach the next morning, all right, so we're not going to be here until 2 a.m. But anyways, there's more slots available, but this will be your time to give your testimony. And like I said, give us a three-point sermon. Preach. If you have a desire to preach, sign up and give us a 10-minute message. Love you all. Have a great week, everyone. Hallelujah.